Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Time. You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Love so strange. Said you now, I know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Doing great. Got off that Peloton. Got out of that steam room. Just watching some highlights from last night. Beat down.
Oh, my gosh. About last night. It's a famous movie. About last night.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, never heard of it.
No.
It must be one of those 60s or 70s movies that...
It's an old
one. You couldn't watch those. You can't watch. You didn't have a TV, but you had like, I don't know how you, whatever. But, I mean, what a night last night.
Oh, my gosh. All-timer.
Kadri, just unbelievable. The heat was on him. He's getting, you know, racist remarks, death threats, took their goalie out. We talked a lot about it yesterday.
We did.
You watch it. It was no intent there.
Yeah.
But they didn't like him anyway. And then
they
he goes out there and gets a hat trick. Just unbelievable performance. They needed it. You were content with it being coming back here at 2-2. Us, most of Avalanche fans, myself, we wanted to put our foot on their face, on their face, and that's exactly what we did. A little bit closer than I wanted it going into the third. I was fuming a little bit. I can't lie.
After they blew the 4-1 lead.
Yeah.
It's like,
if they would have lost that game.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even want to think about it. Anyway, great performance. Way to step up to the challenge. Got
no
down
doubt.
1-0.
After
dominating the first.
Yes.
Flat out dominating the first and still down 1-0. And then just came out the second, just started throwing haymakers. Just a really big time win. Big time win. Coming back home now, up 3-1. This is what good hockey teams do. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't perfect.
It was not.
Right? But there's a lot of learning that can happen because of some of those mistakes there late in the second. A lot. And hopefully that will benefit them. They still got the W. Great job. Fun night. Coming back home now, up 3-1. This is where they needed to be. I'm not completely exhaling until we get out of the second round.
Yeah.
But well done so far. Now let's finish this thing off Wednesday night. What'd you make of it?
Man, it was all-time stuff. I mean, truly a legendary Denver sports playoff moment. I mean, this one was a Disney script. I mean, truly. And, you know, you think about all the conversation and all the nonsense leading up to the puck dropping. Like, he had a police escort to the ice. Kadri did. And I don't know where my mind was. I didn't really put it in park and say, when they said, hey, he's getting death threats. Hey, he's getting racist messages. I'm like, okay, is it just one a-hole, or is it two, or is it a half dozen? I don't know. But seeing the screenshots that his wife posted, I don't know if you caught those. They're at DenverFan.com. Holy crap. Like, the gall for people to just hit up someone, and I'm not going to repeat what they were saying, and I mean, just the name-calling and the racist remarks were just like, whoa. But also, like, hey, dude, like, hang yourself. Hey, dude, like, all this just nasty, like, it was like, how is this many people on the same page with the same sort of action of, like, DMing him or his wife? Just crazy. But anyway, for him to respond the way that he did and the salute to the fans after the second goal, it was just truly all-time stuff. And there's a difference between a legendary sports performance, and that indeed was what it was, but it's also something else to cross over, Stoke, when you get into you're a part of a moment. You're a part of a legendary moment in Denver sports history. And this one, I think of like another moment in Denver sports while you and I have been on the air. Nolan Arenado Father's Day. That is an all-time moment, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stop. That was an all-time moment. And I remember.
I don't know.
I remember where I was. I picked up the phone. I was trying to get in touch with you. You were on the golf course.
I don't remember.
And I'm like, dude, I can't believe it. We just saw. I can't, like,
bad memories I let go of.
But the thing is, and we want to thank our listeners at Westminster for making 104.3 the Fan part of your day. That was one of 162. It's really of no consequence. Awesome all-time moment.
Right.
But it didn't. There was no stakes. This was on the road with stakes in a round that has been a house of horrors with all this extra stuff going on for the guy to be the center point of all that extra stuff to register a legendary moment and performance all at once. It's just an all-timer.
Yeah, legendary stuff there. In the playoffs, big moments. We know the struggles in round two. They're well documented the last 3 years.
Well documented. And
this thing was a battle.
It was.
It's still, I mean, it's not over yet, but, you know, you're only up 2-1.
Right.
Right. And you're lucky to be up 2-1 to a certain degree there, but you needed it. You want to try to, you know, really put it to them. When you got them on the ropes, their goalie's hurt. All eyes are on you. And you step up and deliver in the biggest way that you can. I mean, three goals, just legendary performance, great job, needed the win, got the win, coming back home. Now it's time to put them to bed and move on to the third round. But, you know, you're up 3-1.
It doesn't feel like 3-1.
No, it doesn't. Well, you know, the way the games have started.
Yeah.
Outside of periods 2 and 3 in the first game, it's been a little bit... It hasn't been as dominating as I would have hoped. Now, they've found ways and figured it out and done some good things, obviously. Scores aren't, I don't think, indicative of the play and the skating. When you look at Game 3 and Game 4, you know, a couple empty netters there. St. Louis fought back there to get it down 1 going into the third. I was extremely nervous. We've seen some bad... bounces.
No doubt. Yeah, off Gerard's sticks, off Manson's stick, a broken stick on a slap shot.
That's like, all it takes is one of those. Next thing you know, you're tied. But they figured it out in a big way. And
did you realize? And I didn't realize this last night until John Davis. I was sitting with John Davis. I was actually so last night for me was like,
where'd you go?
Twin Peaks. It's at Twin Peaks on Arapahoe. I had an appearance there presented by our friends from Superbook. And John, who I love. It's like, hey, heard you're going to be at Twin Peaks. Can I come through? I'm like, absolutely. And then who comes walking through the door as well is Andrew Mason, who got done working here. It's like, okay, so now I'm like hanging out with some guys, talking with some listeners who I'll shout out here in a second. But John's like, after St. Louis scored the first goal, he goes, St. Louis has scored first in every single game. And I didn't realize that. But games, every single game of the series thus far, St. Louis has got on the board first. And they're improbably down, you know, given that fact 3-1 here in the series. So... But, yeah, it wasn't perfect. It was far from perfect. And these teams are closely matched, but, man,
And then what bothers me is just some of the bad penalties.
Yep.
When you just can't do that. They're not going to come back when you're up 4-1 and the life is just sucked out of that stadium. They are done. They're taking cheap shots.
Right.
They are mentally, physically done. Everything is done in that building. And then all of a sudden you give them momentum by just taking dumb penalties. That's the one thing that you can't do.
Correct.
Is give them freebies. And the Avs did it 2 times at the end of the second. Like, what are we doing, guys?
And if there's one team you can't do that against, it's St. Louis, who has the best power play in the playoffs here.
We can't clear a puck. I'm like, what are we... Clear the stinking puck, man! I was getting fired up. I'm like, how can we not clear the puck? Couldn't clear it. And you knew what was going to happen. We won.
Thank goodness.
We won.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness, man. Thank goodness.
3-1, baby. Love it.
Got to shout out a great listener of ours, Matt, who came and said hello at Twin Peaks. Then you had a separate Matt from Castle Rock. And then you had a good friend of our show, Davis Mills, and Chris Hill. Shout out. One of those guys wanted to hear me say, hey, just one time. He goes, just one time, say, how you doing, Brandon Stokely? So I said I can do that for you.
Okay, I'll give a shout out to Mark Barkley. Saw him on the driving range at Highlands Ranch yesterday. Started chatting with him. Big listener of our show. So,
awesome.
Shout out to him.
Shout out. All right. What did Nazem Kadri have to say after his legendary Denver sports moment? We'll hear from him next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
You're funny. What did Nazem Kadri have to say after his legendary Denver sports moment? Why am I funny? You're finishing your pub mix live on the air?
Poker mix.
Okay.
Nuts. Poker mix. Nah, I thought you might be getting a gyro today for lunch, and you said, no, I had one at the game, but like when was the game? How long ago?
Thursday?
You act like it was yesterday, and then you go, well, yeah, because I was club level, and they made it right in front of me. Like,
oh, wait, hold on a second.
Oh, yeah, well, I was club level, and they made it right in front of me.
Wait, that's what you said. What about this conversation did you think was appropriate to have on air? Like that this was good content.
It's great content.
No, you started the segment going, you're funny. Well, you started going down the road of, I just had one just recently.
I didn't need to know about, I did sit club level, and, I did make it right there in front of you. So I'm just kind of, I don't need another gyro.
Like, what is wrong with you?
It's just right there on a tee. I got a tee. I mean, you throw it up there, I'm going to dunk on your
head. If you're getting another gyro for lunch, I say no.
I know you love them.
And you followed up, you're like, you said something. I just went down the road.
I didn't say anything. Went down the road. Like, I just had one just recently. I'm like, well, that couldn't be recently. That's not Thursday.
I had one
recently.
Thursday. It's Tuesday.
That's
I don't want
a
gyro second
ago.
Time in a week. What are we doing?
Club level. You did club level. They make it right in front of you.
Dude, you are the absolute worst.
Thank you. Tell me about Kadri.
What did Nazem Kadri have to say after his legendary Denver sports moment? Well, he had some pointed comments, really, for the head coach, Craig Berube, after the game.
I don't know. I think, starting with their head coach, probably. He made some comments that, I wasn't a fan of, and I guess he's never heard of bulletin board material. So I don't know what was that was about, but like I said, there was a lot of people saying a lot of things, and I got to tune it out, and, I'll step up when I have to.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, certainly their coach could have handled it differently, said some different things to try to calm things down and kind of move past it. And he didn't do that. And so, you can use that for motivation. I think that, that motivated Kadri to go out there and get three goals. I think he probably had enough motivation to, go out and play well.
Yeah.
But certainly add a little bit of fuel to the fire because of the lack of response from their coach and kind of stoking the fire earlier.
After the game, with
the comments about who Kadri was and his history and those types of things,
they wouldn't even really talk about the play.
Yeah,
it was just like, look at his history. Enough said.
Right.
Like, okay, well, can we get a comment about the actual play? And nothing really from Berube. This is a little bit more of Nazem Kadri last night. Just talking about how he wanted to make his mark on the game.
Oh, amazing. I wanted to come out tonight and, really put a mark on this game, especially after what happened. And, I try to do that as best as possible. Sometimes, you got to be patient. You got to wait. I was able to strike early in the second period and was able to, get the mojo going in terms of individually and as a team. So felt amazing, just especially to do it on the road. It was pure.
I like the last goal was so cool. I mean, him and I don't know who it was were right next to each other. Like, well, who's going to shoot it? He's just like, get out the way, bro. I got this. Wow. But I like after the Perone or whatever that clown's name is, took a couple cheap shots.
David Perone, yeah.
I don't know what deserves a 5-minute. I don't know what deserves a, ejection. But those two were, that was some cheap shots. And then you pile
from behind.
On. Right. I don't understand some of these
hockey rules.
It was
David Perone and who else? It was Pavel Buchnevich. I mean, from behind, though. I mean, that was like.
Well, it was really Perone.
Perone.
I don't really care. I'm going to get his name wrong because he's a clown. And it was really him. Because the first guy, right, he just kind of hit him twice, and then he piled onto him. But I don't know what warrants an ejection or warrants a 5-minute.
Well,
he was a defenseless player.
Correct. And I'm really glad you brought that up. for that to be filed under a minor, minor's 2 minutes. Major, you get a major penalty, that's 5 minutes. For that not to be a major penalty, you cross-check someone, a defensive, defenseless player from behind. And this goes back to...
Not once.
Twice.
Right.
Twice. But, like, this goes back to, like, if that happened to Nathan MacKinnon and Nathan MacKinnon is attacked from behind, is that a 5 minute major? I think it is.
Yeah. Well, we know that in every sports, it depends. You know, if it's Tom Brady getting hit, it's a lot different than, you know.
He's screaming to his face mask. Right? Hey, my face mask.
than, you know, Davis Mills, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it works. But I like after that. How when Kadri went on the bench, Bednar was there like, hey, good job, man. Yeah, good job. Just you know, reinforcing, like, great job.
That stuck with me,
too.
Keep
your composure right there. I really did like it. It wasn't a big moment, but to me, it was a little moment. And I thought it was, you know, that's how you should handle it when you're a coach. You got to praise your guy, especially a guy like Kadri, when he's keeping his emotions in check and they're trying to get under his skin. They're trying to make him do something stupid. Hey, we're about business. And the business here is about winning. Mm. If those clowns want to take cheap shots and get penalties and do all that other extracurricular activity, let St. Louis be clowns, right? Let's go ahead and take care of our business. And that little pat on the shoulder there, that's what that was saying. And I really did like that.
Loved it as well. This is Jared Bednar himself after the game talking about, I was proud of Kadri.
Proud of him. I thought he was amazing tonight, especially with what's gone on in the last 48 hours. You know, our talk today and coming into tonight's game was stay focused. We're here to win a hockey game. And I had felt our guys were ready. And the one guy that I was kind of concerned about was Naz. But, I mean, I thought he was amazing. Obviously, a tremendous game from him. A focus, a discipline. Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of him. I'm really proud of the way he's handled the last 48 hours. And to be able to come out and perform like that in a pressure situation is amazing.
It was a special moment. Excuse me. Nazem Kadri is that classic teammate. And I had one of these. I had one of these. Where you love him when he's your teammate, but everybody else dislikes that guy. And I had a teammate in high school and college, Rocco. I mentioned his name once in a while. You know, got a, you know, at times can have a couple screws loose. And everyone hated to play against him. And all his teammates just loved that he was on our side.
Yeah.
Did you have a teammate like that in the NFL?
Oh, gosh, I'm sure I did. I mean, you look at the Ravens defense. I mean, a lot of those guys were that way. I mean, I can't think of one off the top of my head right now, but...
A lot of candidates over 15 years.
Yeah. And then you look at the Broncos. I mean, there was a couple of those guys on the Broncos team. But, yeah, I mean, I think of a guy like Rodney Harrison, though, just in general.
Sure.
Chargers, Patriots.
Yep.
You hated him when you played against him. But if he was on your team, you loved him, right? I mean, that's just how it is. And you need those guys. You need those guys. I don't really – they're not concerned about, you know, whatever, you know, is being said, this and that. They're just – they're just going out there trying to be a great teammate and trying to win. But I'll say this for Kadri. And, you know, you played sports, Zach, and if you played sports, and especially like college and beyond, it's there's something to be said sometimes about when you get into the arena, whatever it is, hockey, basketball, football, soccer, whatever it is, like all that other stuff now, you forget it. It's like a relief. It's like an outlet. You know, I mean, my mom passed away on a Saturday after a football game, and then the next Saturday, you know, I showed up and I played. You know, had 3 touchdowns.
Wow!
But it was just an outlet. Like you're not thinking about all that other nonsense anymore, right? You're not thinking about you know, how much pain you're in or the loss of a loved one, all those things. Like, you're just going out there and you're focusing on what you're doing. So it's like, you can actually take a deep breath and you know, every situation is different. Some people lose family members. Some people, you know, whatever the situation may be. And Kadri obviously had his stuff. But just getting on the ice and just being motivated and being able to go out there and put all that other stuff behind you and just, okay, I can exhale. This is what I do best. This is the place of, you know, like safety and just a feel-good place. Makes me feel good.
I love that. I think of Brett Favre. Remember that Monday Night Football game after his father passed?
Right.
I think he threw 5 touchdowns.
Yep. Just exactly.
Legendary stuff, as was last night. Where does it stack up? We're going to talk about that just a little bit later this afternoon in terms of Denver sports moments, especially in the playoffs. And I think that's a fun debate. But in the meantime, Russell.
Looking for a gyro right now. Order me one.
Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was quarterbacking some 11 on 11 yesterday. What does the new quarterback say about the Broncos opening game in Seattle? That's coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Russell Wilson was quarterbacking some 11-on-11 yesterday. What does the new quarterback say about the Broncos' opening game in Seattle, which everyone is fascinated by outside of Stokely? Week one on the road, Monday Night Football, Russell Wilson going to his former home.
Wait. Euro?
No.
What? This is what we're getting. It's like you're pronouncing gyro wrong. It's euro.
I've been saying gyro for 35 years. I don't know.
I know. I see a G. I'm saying gyro. I don't know.
Euro? Nah. I don't know.
Well, we got two of them, though, Zach.
It's gyro. Gyro.
Yes. And someone also said, I'm trying to find it, but it's on here somewhere. Shout out to you. They said, hey, Zach, they don't sell gyros when you're sitting on the glass. Shout out. Yes. I love it. That's a good one. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
And that's
God.
Why I sit on the glass.
That's right.
Right?
It's very
but you think
on the glass,
I sat there one time, oh, and you think I'm lying about it.
I'm going to pronounce it gyro even if the next million people say it's a silent G.
There you go, fist pump. Me too. That's the way we roll.
Gyro.
Yeah, we're not putting a Y instead of a G. Put a Y there then.
Yeah, just fix it.
Right.
Going to fix it, just fix it.
If not, we're going to say gyro.
This is Russell Wilson from yesterday talking about his first game back in Seattle.
I think it's going to be an exciting time. Obviously, Seattle's meant the world to me over the past 10 years. A special place to play. Lumen Field, you know, I have high regard for all those guys over there and what they do. I think for me, it's non-emotional, though. It's got to be non-emotional. You got to be able to go into it with understanding that it's just ball, you know, and also understanding that there's been amazing times. They've thrown a lot of touchdowns there. I've won a lot of games there. So I got a great experience. And I just, you know, what I think about every time I go into a stadium, what I actually think about is there's one kid in the stadium, boy or girl, that's sitting maybe in the 300 seats that may be the last time they get to see you. And that's what the game's about for me. The game's about just being able to glorify God, to be able to do what I love to do, and also to be able to, you know, put on a show every time you step in the field, no matter where it is. I don't care if it's in the park. I don't care if it's in the parking lot. I don't care if it's right here behind us or a beautiful stadium like Lumen Field in Seattle. It'll be a special place. It'll always be a special place in my heart forever.
It's going to be hard to remove the emotion from that one.
Yeah. I mean, look. You can tell me all you want. You're going to try to make it like any other game, but that's not what's going to be happening. Just no way. You're human. This is the place you played. How long did he play there? 10 years?
Yeah.
10 years he played in Seattle. They won a Super Bowl, had a ton of success. I mean, he took that franchise to the whole another level, right?
Really did.
So you're going back to that place. First game of the season, too, at a new home. It's not going to be just like any other game. It's just not. You can't remove that emotion. You just can't do it. You're human. And so I guarantee you it's going to be a whole nother level. Now, you try to suppress it as much as possible and try to approach it as just any other game, but that's not possible. It's just not possible.
I wonder if, given that that's already the dynamics, if there is or could be, and I'm just asking the question, I'm not proclaiming one way or another, but if there could be some complicated emotions on that day, that like, you're not just going to go back to a love fest. Russell Wilson's been loved at every stop. I can promise you he was heralded in high school when he started his career at NC State, right? Mm-hmm. Finished at Wisconsin. I'm sure both play. I remember him back there in his final year. I mean, it was a riot. He's loved. He walks on the scene in 2012. You know what his record was as the starting quarterback in 2012? He's a rookie.
11-5.
You're on it. 11-5, followed up by 13-3, followed up by 12-4. It just goes on like that. But for the first time in his life, he may be feeling rejection on a more on a mass scale. And I hope that just from a Broncos perspective, that those complicated emotions that you're feeling maybe for the first time from a space that you felt just nothing but love for a decade, that can get complicated.
Yeah, it certainly can. You're talking about from the fans.
Right.
Rejection from the fans and the booing.
And does Russell Wilson care about the fans and how people think of him?
Of course he does.
Of course.
A lot. I mean, you can tell he does a lot. Everything is buttoned up.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we know that. Everything is fully buttoned up. So he cares a lot how he's viewed. So if they do boo, if there's a lot of boos, yeah, I'm sure that will affect him. Certainly. He's human. And you want to be loved, and you felt like you did a lot there.
Right.
But how will he be received is ultimately the question. And, you know, will the cheers drown out the boos? Will it be a lot of boos? I think ultimately there's going to be a lot more cheers than boos.
Probably 2 out of 3.
And I think so you won't hear as much. Now, you'll hear a few people, you know, when you're running out of tunnel and stuff like that. But I think overall it won't be a bad homecoming for him. But who knows? I don't know. I'm not in that market.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for him. And how he, I think after the game, he might be more real with us. Maybe just with everything that goes into it and the emotions of going out there, you know, as a visitor now, it's just not another game. It just can't be. It's going to be interesting to see how he contains and controls.
And the fact that it's his first game as a Bronco. It's
right.
Like these two energies are happening at the same time. You're playing for the first time in a decade for a new team, and the very first game is against your old team? It's like you couldn't write it up like this. And obviously the NFL had sort of creative control over this, so they pit the two against each other in prime time, which, you know, for TV consumption, it's great. It's great. But you think back when Demaryius got traded to the Texans. And what do you know the next week on the schedule is against the Broncos? It was like, whoa, this is awkward. This feels, you know, something about it just, you know, it was just weird. Just weird. So this is going to be the definition of weird. This was Russell Wilson after practice yesterday talking about how the team is fitting into this offense.
Well, I think everybody's just doing such an amazing job of studying. Everybody's on their stuff. Everybody's committed. I mean, there's guys that come in super early to work with me in the mornings, and we all kind of, you know, do our own thing as players and just spend a lot of time. I think it's got to be a player-owned thing, and that's what we're doing. I mean, it's just tremendous to see guys like Jerry Jeudy and, you know, obviously Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick. Those guys are so brilliant, but also Beck and Sabi and just there's so many other guys. And then the young guys, Dolchich and Montrell, and Dub, those guys have been coming in early as well. So it's just, I think the dedication. And obviously, I think you guys saw a lot of good stuff out here today, a lot of touchdowns and a lot of good things. The defense looks tremendous, too. We have a really good football team, and that's exciting. And we're really excited about the opportunity to play football.
I don't know if you both can look like really good, offense and defense. Like, you know, if you're scoring a lot of touchdowns.
That one always got me. Well,
if you're scoring a lot of touchdowns, well, then, you know, the defense isn't doing a good job, right?
Right.
If the defense is doing a good job, that means you're probably not doing a good job offensively. But that's the way Russell rolls. It's all good.
It's not just him. We've heard that through the years, like these training camps. Like, hey, the offense looked great, but so did the defense. Like,
I mean, in those situations, it can be, you know, ones versus twos, right? Well, offense go they're one versus the defense of twos, and so you can kind of look at it from that way. But this is what we're going to get from him, which is fine. A lot of positivity, a lot of hype. You're not going to hear anything negative being said. I like how he threw out Dolchich.
Yeah.
In there, you know, he seems like he likes him, but it's hard to really know what he's saying and believe what he's saying because everything is so positive. He's not going to say a negative thing about anyone, right? So, oh, Dolchich is on his game. Well, he's a rookie. Like, is that really? Is he really doing really good? Is he balling? Or is he just average, but you're pumping him up? You follow me?
Sure. But I think
you look confused. That's why I asked if you're following me, because you look confused.
No, no. It's just look. I'm not. It's
your normal look. I should know.
It's May. I'm expecting positivity from Russell Wilson. I find no criticism in what he said.
I'm not criticizing
him. You kind of are.
No, I'm not.
You kind of are.
No, I'm not criticizing him. I'm not down on him. All I'm saying is this is what we should expect from not only now, but throughout the course of the season, which is fine.
We'll see about that. We'll see about that.
He's Mr. Positive. We're getting some stuff from about our gyro comment.
Yeah.
And this is a good one. Clint from Pittsburgh. Look here, you country bumpkins. It's Greek, so naturally the spelling isn't familiar to you guys, but indeed the proper pronunciation is gyro. Love you guys, though. All right, Clint from Pittsburgh.
As someone who attended the Greek festival every year in Albany, New York, it is gyro, in fact.
It's gyro, Clint. Sorry.
All right. It was the closest thing to football we've had yet this offseason.
Country bumpkins. I mean, you can call
that only
me
applies
that.
To one
right,
of us.
You can't. I mean, you can't put. You got to call him something else.
Oh,
I'm the country bumpkin.
What were some of the biggest takeaways from someone who was there? We'll check in with one of those people coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It was the closest.
You're a bad guy.
It was the closest.
Did you call me a bad guy? You're a bad guy. Go ahead. Enough said. Right, Andrew knows, Mason knows, and he's joining our show right now. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
My pleasure, Phil.
What's up, Mace?
Whose side are you on right now? He should have kept that story to himself, right? You can't tell a bad story, say, I couldn't shake this for the last year, and then you tell everyone else the story. I don't want to hear that type of story.
That's the thing. I have to say, I won't forget that. I only heard it in the last 35 seconds.
Right.
I won't forget it. You won't forget it, Stoke. It's an image that you can't get out of your mind. Now, is it dramatic and does it have some life lessons in it? Perhaps, but sometimes we don't need to know everything.
Yeah, Zach. Yeah.
It was the closest.
Take that.
It was. We good here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we're great.
It was the closest thing to football we've seen yet this offseason. What were some of the biggest takeaways from someone who was there? That was Andrew Mason. You have a really nice, and I saw it this morning on DenverFan.com, well-organized sort of just thoughts from the last phase of OTAs, phase three,
phase
right?
Phase three, yep.
What were some of your biggest takeaways?
I mean, there's the Russell Wilson effect. There's the tempo at which practice goes. And I'm not just talking about what the coaches do, but talking about the speed at which the offense gets to play, breaks the huddle, as Justin Simmons pointed out, after practice, like, there were times the defense, they were still kind of figuring out their calls and all, getting their calls, and the offense is walking to the line. And so you contrast that to a tempo that at times over the last few years wasn't necessarily the highest. So seeing that on day one of phase three, the first time you can go 11-on-11. Also seeing the emphasis on red zone. You know, and usually you get to red zone work, but it doesn't necessarily happen on that first 11-on-11 day, especially with a new coach and a new quarterback. I mean, they're jumping, you could say, kind of into the deep end. I mean, why not, right? This is, you know, it's situational football matters so much. You've got to make sure quarterback, but even though you've got a new scheme and everything, let's, you know, start working on that from the beginning. And then, just some of the interesting personnel stuff. There's shuffling going on the offensive line. You see some shuffling at linebacker. You didn't have Bradley Chubb or Randy Gregory out there. So you saw the edges kind of being shuffled around. You saw Alex Singleton, Jonas Griffith, Josie Jewell were all working inside linebacker. I mean, there's, from that first day, because our first glimpse, there's going to be a lot that kind of jumps out. Like, oh, that's interesting. Next week, it won't seem so new when we see some of that.
Now, you mentioned Bradley Chubb not being there or out there. What was the reason for that? And also, we know that Jerry Jeudy was out there, but he wasn't practicing. To you, big deal, little deal, no deal. What's up with those two guys?
Well, with Jeudy, I mean, if he's got back tightness, you don't want to risk it right now. And sort of the benefit you get out of that is no Jeudy, no KJ Hamler. You get certainly Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton benefit, but then a guy like Montrell Washington gets some reps out there and gets to catch some passes from Russell Wilson. He's got a long way to go, but it only helps him getting up there. It only helps Kendall Hinton getting those reps as well. So that's not something I'm too concerned about. With Bradley Chubb, he's had a pretty busy offseason. He's been working toward his bachelor's in sociology at North Carolina State. I don't know that that was the reason why he wasn't there. I don't know the exact reason why. But if it's just one day, it's not something that you kind of worry about. Like, Kareem Jackson wasn't there, but Justin Simmons says, hey, he's at his daughter's graduation. So, right. You know what? Personal things happen. Nathaniel Hackett didn't seem too concerned. Russell Wilson didn't even seem too concerned about Melvin Gordon not being there. And I think Gordon was doing a podcast somewhere in Nashville.
Yeah, how about that? He tweeted during OTAs that was, like, with no context. I don't even know what podcast he was on.
Does that say lack of awareness to use that?
Dude, yeah, I'm having to stop myself because it kind of, like, irritates the hell out of me.
I can tell.
You don't realize your standing within the Broncos, that they're practicing, and you're tweeting out that was one of the best podcasts I've ever gone on. Huh? It's like, what?
Not just the Broncos, but the fan base. There's a lot of fans he rubs the wrong way,
yes.
Right? So it's not just
to the
that.
Point where he says then, the fans don't like me. Well, it's stuff like this.
Are
the
we Broncos- overreacting, Mace? Here?
I'd say slightly. I don't hold much against Melvin Gordon not being there because he's got a pretty rigorous regimen that he's on. It's kind of like when Shannon Sharp was playing and he famously would do all his work down in Atlanta. He'd show up for the mandatory minicamp. He kept himself in great shape and was good to go. Obviously, something that Melvin is doing every offseason, usually out in L.A. is where he does a lot of his work, it's working because most running backs don't make it to the eighth year, and certainly they don't have two of their best three per carry averages in year 6 and 7 as he has had.
But isn't it a lack of awareness?
Yeah, yes, the timing of it.
To tweet during a practice when you know that the Broncos are practicing, and
it's not about him not being there for me. Like,
he erred. I agree with you both. That's something where you've just got to. Like you said, awareness is the perfect way to describe it. Your teammates are out there practicing. Just you could put that up later at 5 o'clock, and no one would think anything of it. It's the fact that it's during practice. So it's just something that maybe he's got to be more considerate about going forward, because how it is perceived, it does matter. I mean, he's not a clear number one back. He might be number two at this point. And then, like you mentioned, the perception that people have. I don't know. Again, like you guys said, I don't have anything against Melvin Gordon not being there. He's got his protocol. He's got what he does. He stays in great shape. You're not worried about that. But just sometimes timing is everything. You have to know when to do something, when not to do something.
And it's a bunch of little stuff with Melvin.
Yes.
It's like 9 little things all put together that create this image that it's just like, okay. Real quick, Nathaniel Hackett. What is your impressions of Nathaniel Hackett running a football practice?
You know what? It was basically like most other football practices. I mean, we've seen him be certainly more active. We've seen him take the handoffs and all that. He's very kinetic. He's kind of moving around. That's the different vibe you get from him compared with Vic Fangio. But ultimately, aside from maybe getting to the red zone stuff a bit earlier than you would ordinarily see in day 3, it's basically a football practice. He's tweaking some things, but he's not reinventing the wheel here. There's very little that's new under the sun in football that even an innovative mind can put in. It was what you'd expect to see.
And especially now, with so many rules and regulations and restrictions on how you can run a practice, there's only so much that you can do.
Right,
you can only keep them out there so much time.
Right.
You can't have on full pads. You're not going to be hitting. So, you know, To Mace's point, there's only so much that you can do. Now, you can do some red zone maybe a little bit earlier in the week or, you know, those types of things. But ultimately, you know, it's going to be practice. There's rules. There's restrictions on how you operate during practice. So there's only so much you can do.
Mace, thanks for being here. You got your piece up at DenverFan.com that really lays out all of your thoughts a young safety making a good impression, you want to go to denverfan.com to check that out. Mace, we appreciate you.
My pleasure. And also, Cecil Lammy's got a piece up he put up this morning at denverfan.com. So you've got two different angles on practice. There are plenty to check out.
I love it. And you and I watched the Cadre game last night together at Twin Peaks with John Davis. That was really cool.
We'll never forget that game. We'll never forget where we were when we saw the Cadre game.
I love it. Thanks for being here, man.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, one of the most respected voices in football put out his annual preseason power rankings. Prepare yourself. There is a lot to unpack, and we'll get to it next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.